Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, brought to you by
AmericanCitizenPress.com and Denver Cynogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Hey, before we get into the show, it's been a little bit, we had guests kind of switching around. And hey, TJ, our producer, Thomas, the great guy who's been helping me through some technical issues here. Our 3 o'clock guest, Judd Dunning, did just text me and says he is available now. He's a Newsmax guy, had a Newsmax segment that he thought might interfere, but apparently he's free. So we'll go ahead and get him. So, all right, TJ's calling him now. TJ, you are the best. Just for anyone out there, BBS Radio and the folks there, we could not do this without them. And they should get some kind of extra hazard pay for working with us. But we're going to have Judd Dunning, thankfully now. He's with Newsmax. And let me text him. He's with Newsmax. He wants to talk about Ukraine. I mean, there's so much to talk about there. And then also Daniel Greenfield with Front Page Magazine, David Horowitz's Freedom Center. We initially wanted to have him on to talk about a great column he had, Spies Like Hillary, the Durham investigation. But also he's got a new column up today talking about Biden's Supreme Court pick.
Right.
Saying it basically his thing there is the Democrats are they're going with the very progressive wing as opposed to
Clyburn and got him elected. The hell with any Republican
minority communities. Yeah. Exactly.
Just do whatever the far left wants, and that's what Biden does.
That's right. And while we're waiting for Thomas to get Judd on the phone, I think a lot going on in Ukraine. But Chuck and I were talking about it. It seems like to me, two giant takeaways on this whole thing are, people are texting me. Okay, TJ, he might be on the 310 number, just so you know. It seems to me that a giant takeaway from this is that two things. One, that when you give somebody like Putin leverage, they will take it. Right. And the United States, giving away our energy independence, and Europe giving away its energy independence.
And if you pay no attention to at least what they claim is important to them and poo-poo it and get rid of it before it's hit, then you're going to get bad results, generally speaking. I mean, Putin couldn't have been more clear that his red line was having Ukraine in NATO.
Right.
And so what does Biden do? He says, no, we
won't say that.
Yeah,
right.
We won't say that. So, okay.
Well,
fair enough. And I heard Marco Rubio say, he would invade it anyway. Well, I'm sure he talks to you a lot, Marco. Yeah, know all about it.
Would have been worth a try, particularly since we don't want them in NATO anyway. The other point, though, is I think that there really is something to be said about Biden being such a weak leader. I think if you're Putin, just the overall weakness of his character, and you have these wimpy Trudeau, Macron leaders around the world who care more about making sure that everybody is woke and that they have,
And they can be their own authoritarian dictators.
Right, exactly. Than that. So we've got Judd Dunning with us now. Apparently, Judd just wrapping up a Newsmax segment. He's the author or the commentator on his own radio show, Unapologetic, the Judd Dunning Hour. Judd, thank you for squeezing us in. Sounds like a busy day you've got. Appreciate it.
No, I love it. I love it. Thanks for having me. And yeah, it's always interesting when you're on television because you get bumped in the back for breaking news.
Right.
The great thing is you get to watch breaking news.
There you go. I worked for years. I was a TV reporter here at the ABC affiliate, then at the Fox affiliate. And every so often I'd get to do a show on the Fox network, which is just upstairs. And I noticed, because I was not big potatoes, I spent a lot of time waiting and then getting bumped. So you at least get an actual segment.
Yeah, that's it.
I just got bumped. But like you said, at least I got, I don't know how you are, I at least got my makeup done. So there was that.
Exactly.
So why did I talk to you? I mean, a number of things.
So what is your breaking news that you got to watch a minute ago?
Yeah, I guess you can.
Oh, it was the Pentagon with its limp stance of not even really reporting on what was actually happening. And, you know, America's, we're so wishy-washy right now. I mean, you know, I mean, basically, as we all recall, Trump told Putin that he would bomb Moscow if he went into Ukraine. I mean, we had a strong military. And now the military is like the DOJ. It's been politicized. The CIA, everything's been politicized in our country. It's interesting. We're a totally different country than we were 20 years ago. There, we have, of course, we had corruption. But now politicization is a form of corruption because it keeps us off the center of what's important. So, yeah, that's what I was just listening to the Pentagon say nothing, essentially.
Well, you know, and Biden keeps saying things like Putin's going to be a pariah. Number one, like Putin doesn't already know that. Number two, like Putin cares. It's like Putin and China are now BFFs, right? And it's like Putin could care less, I imagine, that Macron isn't going to be sending him some kind of holiday greeting card. It's like in the left, the world we're in anymore to them, because the narrative, whether it's true or not, is all that matters to them. It's like somehow they think that they can, by canceling Putin and by trolling and shaming Putin, he's going to be like, oh, I guess I won't take over a territory that I consider to be critical to my national security.
Absolutely. I'm in real estate. That's my day gig here when I'm not out talking about how much I love this country and what we have to defend. And my analyst is a Ukrainian 30-year-old with three kids.
Wow.
So, and he lives by the airport that was being bombed. So I'm getting live reports from there this morning. And I said, well, what's it like? And he's like, you know, effing Biden. They're unhappy over there with the weakness that has created the situation. He's like, look, this is a lightning war. He said, they already stopped. We're seeing one story, but he said, they're already stopped giving out weapons. Yeah. There's a lot of political theater going on, and that, you know, the explosions have happened. He said, but, you know, it may be slow, but we all know the power is overwhelming. He said, why didn't you guys give us Patriot missiles and actually make a stance as why weren't we brought into NATO, and why is it falling solely across, you know, across the United States right now? There's Zelensky and the parliament was calling it. And he said, the thing is we know this is just a repositioning of global power that Putin's just showing, using our country. It's like, he doesn't even care about our country. He's just showing the fact that we have a weak Putin and that there's going to be a new global order and using us as that pawn. So that was, you know, directly from a millennial there. He's like 30-something, very politically aware with his family. He said, yet we are going to Poland. I'm taking my three kids later today. And wow, your job is going to be late, Mr. Dunning.
Yeah, well, good luck in getting out of the country. I think they said everybody between 16 and 80 has to stay and die or something.
Well,
men anyway.
Is that like political theater? Do you think? Yeah. I kind of wonder about that. Well, let me ask you this.
What are they going to do in Poland? Poland's got 1.5 million Ukrainians there already. I mean, it's
at least it's not being bombed.
Well, not yet. But it's just, and Zelensky did a little shout out to Biden and saying, you know, why'd you leave us alone like this, you idiot? So I think the millennial and the president of the Ukraine are on the same page.
Yeah, I agree. But let's go deeper. I mean, I think the main thing we have to know is, you know, the prior Ukrainian minister there was being called out and up for indictment, very similar to like our Russia trials were happening there right as this started to happen. We're not the only country with a deep state. And the weird thing about Putin, I'm not a fan of Putin, is his thuggery for his whole career is immense, right? How he's become so wealthy. If you know Putin, there's a great documentary on Putin's treasures, right? We really know his history. But he does bust up deep state elements when he has to. We don't know how deep Ukraine is, extremely corrupt.
Yeah.
So we don't know how deep this goes. We don't know what the full political spectrum of this went. I think Trump knew what was going on. I think Biden would love to be a wartime president. He's not. Yeah. I don't think he's going to cross over there. But his poll numbers went from 31 to 35 today because he's just taking a position. Anybody who's in the office will get a benefit from this. But the timing is insane, right? I mean, we were just about to get information there from things that go way beyond Burisma.
That's a good point.
Well, it's a practical matter. It's you keep on saying what a great democratic state it is. I mean, Zelensky, who's a comedian and used to play a president, now is president. But he cut off all the channels of his main pro-Russian rival, saying their propaganda, then had him arrested and jailed. You know, this is kind of a Canadian, our new Canadian democracy. They're not exactly a democracy-loving country. And it's just amazing to watch. At least I watch our are networks, and they seem to be all in for a World War III, and maybe that'll be great. Maybe it'll be a lot of fun for all of us.
Well, the COVID is over, so the networks need something.
Yeah, that's right. They need something.
You know, and respond. I'm sorry.
Somebody needs to call up Trudeau and tell him it's democracy, by the way. I think the distant relative of Castro needs a wake-up call there. I mean, it's interesting what we're using as a democratic example. But the Ukraine is seriously compromised. I mean, what people forget is what lives beyond Biden and what lives beyond the EU, et cetera, is the fact that we still have a pretty amazing justice system supporting our free market capitalism. They are hindered there. The black market is notoriously intense. And Russia is rough and has its thuggery. So, you know, I hope that these calls that we're going to get involved aren't going to go any further. I hope that, you know, Trump was fierce but an isolationist at the same time. It's really difficult to know what the Biden clone clown or whatever whoever's in this office leading by committee, what their opinion is really going to be, because he's defaulting to the ironically neocon progressive playbook, which definitely has its place in the military industrial complex. We're a different America. We look at news differently. Thank you, Trump, for fake news. We all think through multiple layers. So if you go to ground news, I was reading this, you know, there's so much different news breaking right now, but the Russian propaganda machine is churning, saying nothing's going on there. And it sounds like we do have a genuine kind of Bay of Pigs moment, although the Ukraine knows they're going to have to eventually lay down unless somebody comes to their rescue. I think they're signaling the world they'd like to.
Well, you know, to me, it seems like, too, I go back to, you know, Victor Davis Hanson had a really good column talking about the times when Putin has moved and the times when Putin has not moved, 2008 in Georgia, 2014 in Crimea. And basically, it was times when the United States was energy independent, when Russia didn't have the leverage that they have over the United States and the rest of the world, and when they had sort of strong leaders like Donald Trump. And I think that, you know, these sanctions are great, but they don't, even Biden acknowledges they don't really do anything. And you know, and I'm assuming that Russia and the oligarchs have figured ways around it. And I think that, you know, that the one thing we're not doing is what we really should do, and that's regain our energy independence, which we could start like tomorrow. Yeah. And then Putin wouldn't have the leverage.
Yeah, that is the main point. There's 595,000 gallons of barrels a day coming in from Russia. And we could have had 830,000 barrels from Keystone. I mean, it was absolutely a choice. And now to slap sanctions on it, it's an elitist disregard for the middle class. Gas just hit $6.50 out here. It's higher than Hunter Biden. We have horrible, horrible gas prices.
Holy
here.
Cow. Well, Biden says you should get you. I was going to say, I remind people, we're talking to Jay Dunning here. I'm a Newsmax contributor. He's got his own radio show, Unapologetic, a commentator, analyst. One of the things, I mean, it does surprise me that Biden is like, well, you know, we aren't going to really actually do anything that's going to help Ukraine, but we are going to do things that are actually going to really hurt
us.
And it's like, well, that seems bad. Like so much. I mean, that's why Trump's America First worked, right? I think Trump would have been, okay, well, what's good for us and how do we protect us against whatever going on there, whether we send in troops or don't send in troops? And I mean, to me, it's like, and then John Kerry, of course, saying, well, hopefully this won't derail the global climate.
It just helps Putin realize that the tundra is warming up and therefore, you know, it doesn't get his eye off the global warming ball.
And then they say that Adam Schiff is like, Europe needs to wean itself off the Russian oil. And it's like, under what? Right? I mean, you know, pogo sticks or something. And so I just think that you got to wonder, let me ask you this. Do you think they're doing it on purpose? Do you think this is in some bizarre way? They don't care that gas, not only do they not care that gas prices are going to go through the rocket, our fuel bill, our heating bill was double this month.
It's Russia's fault.
I mean, that they just are like, good, we don't want you guys using natural gas anyway.
Listen, cultural Marxism thrives in a deconstruction of society and an over-reliance on government in that vacuum, right? I mean, so any negative problem that we have, a pandemic, inflation, war, war in the right sense, right? When it's sometimes it's obviously just, any kind of distraction right now. It keeps us away from the fact from looking at how miserable Biden has actually been and how he's right. Jimmy Carter on steroids. It's the worst job we've ever done. I mean, we don't have a vote of confidence in this country. We have to sit with our choices or those hijacked, stolen choices that seem to have really been made. So they can just keep rolling. Hillary Clinton today, 47 times she mentioned democracy in an Atlantic article. Then she tried to tie Putin's invasion of the Ukraine to the January 6th riots and tried to tie it back to Trump. This is how divorced from a reality our progressive left is. They love a crisis.
Well, right. There was a great article, I forget where it was, which tied all of the wonderful Americans who had gone into the Ukraine for pillage and for profit, and include Nancy Pelosi's son. He'd become a major executive at a company in Ukraine. Obviously, the wonderful Hunter Biden, the Clinton Foundation yeah. raised $8.5 million.
Wasn't John Kerry's son in there, some, or son-in-law in there somewhere
yeah,
too?
Yeah, I mean, every Democrat in the world was there plundering away as we lecture them on corruption. It's just...
Which goes to your point that there might be something deeper here.
No, I definitively think there's no way this system, with its contamination through every administration and how corrupt it is, it's not that simple. I mean, the separatists and the pro-Russian forces are very, very complicated in that country. Yeah. So I agree with my local. I got straight off the fire hose intel from my friend this morning who lives there. I've talked to him two or three times today. And they, you know, he's a real Ukrainian. You know, we really have become friends. We work on real estate projects several times, you know, 20 hours a week. And he said, look, this is a reorganization of the global world order using Ukraine as a proxy to let the world know that Biden is no longer in charge and that Russia is making its move. And I think if we see it as really for what it is, not for the fact that we need to get involved in World War III and give them what they want, but right. that we need to become like, you know, we need to become what Trump put out there. He reversed Biden's weak policies and globalist homogenization of our proud country. He reversed them in 6 months. So the good news is we can return to glory, but what we have to be careful is we don't want Biden dragging us into something right now to save his poll numbers, which is a genuine risk because the left has nothing. Nothing is working on the leftist plan. There's not one redeeming progressive policy. War is a blessing. At least we're not looking at inflation. At least we're not looking at COVID. At least we're not looking at Afghanistan.
Well, let me, speaking of Afghanistan, let me ask if you think it's my bottom line question is here, is it going to work? I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, there was a while when Afghanistan completely dominated a news cycle, right? That's all we talked about. Now you don't talk about Afghanistan at all. And I wonder if, you know, so this is going to be huge for maybe 2 weeks at the most, maybe three. And I wonder if it's, and then everybody's gas prices are going to be skyrocketing again in the supply chain, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think that it's going to work if this was an attempt to sort of resurrect his poll numbers, at least through November?
I think that the good news is that the left eats its own. I think we all know that. It's like, you know, there's like 30%+ of Americans on the left that believe the election was contaminated now, right? Yeah. I mean, it's been so bad that this guy didn't win by in a meritocracy versus, you know, for example, Ketanya Brown Jackson today. we're not electing anyone by merit anymore, right? Mm-hmm. We're electing them by politics. So I don't think it's going to rest. I think it's a short-term solution. Like I was thinking today, though, I think one of the interesting things is right as the CDC is lightning masks, and we just go back and say, hey, guess what? The vaccine never worked, and masks never really worked. The microns were proven never to work. We all know the truth. Right as that's being lifted up, before we finally laugh in their face and celebrate victory, we're going to push ourselves into the war dialogue. Because right now they're losing COVID. Like eventually in LA, we just lifted the mask mandate finally, right? Today I walked in, I didn't even know. They said, hey, we took it off. So I think that they don't want us rallying into a proud Canadian trucker country. let's focus on war. Let's create some other distraction, which is the left. I don't think it's going to resurrect him.
No.
Joe Biden does have one more ace in his hand. Which is the takeover of Taiwan by Communist China. So he can pull that one off when this one fades from the collective memory. He can turn to signaling that that'd be okay if they did it. And then when they do it, They're saying they're going against the norms of international relations.
They're going to be pariahs.
They'll be pariahs.
We won't ever have the Olympics again, by God.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I had somebody stay with me for a week that actually worked in the budget department of the DOD. And the good news is that we are still extremely stronger than every other country. Like, we still have that definitive lead. Like, progressives will go so far to deconstruct us and, you know, hinder us from a two-front war. But she's like, yeah, we really need to beef it up, but we still have a, you know, a huge hit. The thing that concerns me is hypersonic technology is starting to out-defense our defense systems and cyber, and a cyber attack. It's interesting. The thing we have to watch on the heels of this invasion as we distinctly move out of this is, you know, there's all this talk from like Davos and some of the globalists talking about a cyber attack, which you're already starting to hear the rumbles of cyber attacks right now. And we heard the rumbles of a pandemic a couple years before, and they even had copyrights before we had COVID.
Right.
So are we headed toward a global interruption? And then are we going to blame? This is one of the things they're talking about. Are we going to see a cyber attack, which we defend constantly? And are we going to blame it on Russia? They could hijack and heighten the global tensions right now with a cyber attack. And who knows where it could source from? So right. I think we have to stay really aware that there is a global elite now that cares more about power than really just, you know, let Americans have a good sunny day and a good meal and spending time with our families and prospering. There's some bad people out there.
There are. And I think, you know, you're right about the cyber attacks, because I was noticing that too. I mean, two things on that. One, it's like all of a sudden everybody's talking about that. Then they're saying, and I mean, even Adam Schiff last night was saying, and if you open it, it could be sent to Ukraine, but it could end up in here too.
They still convince everybody that the DNC server was hacked by the Russians. I mean, we're still believing that.
No, we don't believe that. But my question was, do you think, because you're right, they're suddenly talking about cyber attacks all over the place. And if they did actually what they did in Ukraine, it seems like, well, they could do that here, although maybe we could do it back. Where do you see that going? That is something to be alarmed about.
Well, I mean, I would say that we have to be ever vigilant and ever watchful that we know a duplicitous left no longer has our best intentions in mind. So the question I would ask behind that is, what agenda does it serve for the leftist elites of our country? Okay. So I think that whatever we can negotiate and whatever we can stoke now, it's really all about, you know, can we obfuscate and try to keep this country in 2024 in the cycle that we're in? I think it's the only thing that our government thinks about the relationship that country and that matters to them. I do think that, you know, outright violations of some of our, you know, NATO, I think all that's secure. There's only so far they can go. But I feel like everything around this is a chip. I feel like right now, you know, we have to be very careful. I was on the news today on television, watching the distortion of the news on and the hyper, they were like, you know, they were, the drama was all being focused on the few moments of drama, not the overall picture. So we just have to be watchful.
You know, and I know we only have you for a couple more minutes, but we do our show. We do it on Zoom too. It's live stream, but on Zoom. And so one of our listeners, Charlene, has a question on Zoom. So Charlene, go ahead. You can ask a question. Chuck Julie, along with Judd Dunning. Go ahead, Charlene.
Oh, hi there. Well, I just am tuning in, and this guy is so brilliant. And thank you so much for speaking up, because I think you agree with me 100%. But, you know, I grew up in Little Rock, Arkansas, and went to church with Hillary for a short while. I have never seen her this nervous. She is sending messages out to cyber attack Russia, knowing full well they can do it to us in return. And, you know, there goes our online banking. There goes our email. You know, I mean, it's okay for her. She doesn't probably do online banking, but what I'm saying is she would sacrifice the country for her continued power. And that's how scared the deep state operation Ukraine is. It's Pelosi's democracy. It is not a democracy. It's a deep state operation.
Did you read Hillary's article? I did not read it. Did you read her?
I didn't read the article. I just saw her tweet where she said, we need to cyber attack Russia.
Yeah, and she said we did some of that stuff in the Arab Spring, which really worked out. Arab Spring worked out well. So
she won't take the whole place down with her. Yeah. And so,
well, she's dead on. I mean, this is what Watergate 2 just happened. I mean, we tracked actual spying on, it became nothing, right? We watched the Ukraine phone calls. We watched through the Russia crisis. We've gone through January 6th. The biggest news of contamination came out, and watch the 24 hour news cycle, besides your show and a handful of networks out there, will try to wash this out of the, I mean, a lot of people think Hillary's finally going to prison, and that right before this happened, that we finally actually got the tool so she could never come back into office. Meanwhile, she's blindly posting articles calling out January 6th. I think you're dead on. I think we absolutely agree.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, Charlene, there you go. Thank you, Charlene. Mm-hmm. And okay. Jeff, I got to let you go too. Let me give you a real quick opportunity to tell folks, you're brilliant. I agree with Charlene.
Yes,
where they can find you and hear you and keep up with you.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm just a humble American who's a rationalist, not a radical. So I think everything's so in front of our face. So thank you for the compliment for such two seasoned journalists. So that's very nice of you. Just follow me on Twitter at Judd Dunning. That's JUDDDUNNING. At Judd Dunning. Everything else will come to you from there. You can buy our book, 13 Half Reasons Why Not to Be a Liberal, How to Enlighten Others. Follow our show. It's such an honor and pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Judd. We appreciate it.
Yeah, have a great weekend. Thank you, sir.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Yeah, he was great. Yeah, thank you very much to him. Hey, and Thomas, if you want to go ahead, we can call Daniel Greenfield now too. You know, I hadn't really, he has a good point too with the cyber stuff. It's, and I think he's right. Just with everything anymore, you know, you just got to ask yourself anymore, what's in it for the globalists and the elites?
Well,
and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's what's happening.
It's that old Roman phrase, cui bono. Yeah. Who does it benefit? And,
right.
And you really, because, you know, you trust the New York Times?
No.
Well, he trusts the Washington Post? You trust George Stephanopoulos or anything else? No. And so, you know.
I think what's going on with the Biden administration, I think it is in such chaos and disarray that I think, you know, you and I have talked about this, that I think that they only think like one crisis ahead, right? It's like, okay, poll numbers are awful. The economy, there's nothing they're going to be able to do about that. That's plummeting. Everything's, you know,
it couldn't
COVID,
be worse.
Everybody, it
couldn't be worse than they make it.
And they're like, okay, I mean, I go back to my original wag the dog. It's like, okay, because, you know, remember, they didn't hype. And granted, Ukraine is a little different, but Georgia, Crimea, do you guys remember that? I don't remember that you remember all of these things. But all I mean though is they're going to hype this up. It's going to be just like Afghanistan. In another month, no one's going to be talking about it, but by then they will have at least gotten out of the COVID thing. I also think one of the reasons they want to distract us from COVID, because we're hearing more and more about this all the time, not always so much from the United States, but from other countries. And that is the impact, the negative impact, the adverse effects of the vaccines. I think that
they'll bury that one for
centuries. Yeah, I think that there are some very nervous people out there.
All right. Well, we're pleased to have Daniel Greenfield on line three
with Front Page Magazine. He's also with the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Hey, Daniel, thank you for your time on this Friday afternoon.
It's always my pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much. So I know there's so much to talk about. And initially, we do want to kind of get into the column initially I read of yours, Spies Like Hillary. But in the meantime, I saw you've got a new column up on Front Page Magazine talking about Biden's new Supreme Court pick. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, there were two major candidates. One was being touted by Representative Clyburn, the guy who pretty much put Biden in the White House, certainly got him the Democrat nomination.
And Lindsey Graham
had more black support.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, you have the woman who Biden actually picked, who was backed by the left. And, you know, once again, Biden showed that his first allegiance is very much to the left, that he does whatever the left tells him to do.
What do you think it's going to mean? And my guess is that she'll be passed. She was already, they already approved her. What do you think that means for the Supreme Court? I got to wonder whether whoever he picked was going to make that much difference. But what do you think?
Well, we've seen really with this new generation of identity politics picks under Obama, now under Biden, is that these are people who are not very qualified, whether it's Elena Kagan or Sotomayor, or now Jackson. These are people who have the right politics. They fit a quota, but they're not really good at convincing other justices to support their various positions. And that is a huge problem because even with her on the court, obviously, it doesn't actually shift the composition of the court. And smart justices, Breyer was able in some cases to influence more conservative justices. I don't see her having much influence over conservative justices.
No, I think she'll change the tone and tenor. Breyer was by his very nature somebody liked to accommodate things, so he usually was stayed with the big three through everything. But she'll change. She'll have lots of vicious dissents, and it'll be a much less pleasant court to be around. But I'm not sure the policies will be different.
I think that is absolutely true. I'm sure she will be doing a ton of interviews. Much like Sotomayor, she'll have a bio out. She'll be giving a lot of speeches. She'll be a public figure, which a Supreme Court justice is not supposed to be. But within the court itself, I think she'll have limited influence.
Well, and what I love is, you know, Republicans nominate a moderate to hard conservative in Kavanaugh, or they nominate an African-American in Justin Thomas, and it's all war. It is all war on the left. It is. You don't get a single Democratic vote, or if you get lucky, you get one. And it's just a war. The Democrats nominate somebody who's really pretty radical. Not, you know, one more Yale, Harvard-trained lawyer, like we need one more of those on the court. And all we get is Paul Ryan going, oh, this is so fantastic. This is so wonderful. My brother-in-law's sister's first cousin is married to her third cousin twice removed, or whatever it is. And they're all just falling over themselves, welcoming her to the court. If she were a Republican, they would turn over every stone. Drunk in high school and 10,000 other things. No, she'll go flying through without a bip.
Yeah, I don't imagine the Republicans will have the guts to actually ask tough questions or do anything, because they were already being accused of being racist before the nomination even happened, before there was a pick. They were being preemptively accused of being racism before there was even a candidate. So, of course, now the media is going to double down on this, and Republicans will be very afraid of being accused of racism.
Well, let me switch over, if we may, to your column about spies like Hillary. I'm still not optimistic that, you know, James Comey or perhaps the people, the Obama, you know, that they're going to get all the way up. But can you maybe sort of outline for folks, because you did a great job, this latest Durham filing, what it indicates and where you think maybe it's going to go?
So unfortunately, like you, I'm somewhat pessimistic. I don't think any big heads are going to roll. That said, some of the behavior here was absolutely shockingly outrageous. This is very much Watergate. This is spying on a presidential candidate by a presidential campaign. That's absolutely shocking. And it's really a kind of a betrayal of privacy, because one of the things you expect is you type something into your internet browser or your phone and you expect that it's private. And this is an example of how it's actually not private. The sites you're visiting can be tracked by these kinds of DNS services, which stands for domain name services. And as a result, they were able to track which sites were people were going to in the White House, in Trump Tower, and some other locations. And there's technically they did not do anything illegal by doing so, because one of the things with Hillary, with the Clintons in general, they're very good at doing horrifying things without technically breaking the law. As Al Gore used to say, there's no legal controlling authority.
That was one thing too that I noticed. I mean, on top of all the horrifying things that they were doing to spy and to manipulate the data, right? They were just like kind of picking and choosing and cutting and pasting it together to make it say what they wanted. But the fact that it's like, well, wait a minute. So these government contractors, I mean, it's like this guy could say, well, I want to see what my ex-wife is doing, if they could spy on him, they're spying on us too.
Well, it's a practical matter. You know, as Beria said, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. I mean, they're great at inventing crimes all over the place. And with Hillary, it's always, well, there's no crime. It's legal. Nothing legal is just Spiegel and what they did to Flynn. Oh, yeah, here, that's a violation of the Logan Act. Yeah, that's it. Or no, this is a violation of this, a violation of that. We need a Republican lawfare who can figure out all the incredible. You know, you can indict anybody. Yeah, everything they do, everything you do, breathing should be a crime. I mean, they managed to make everything a crime. And Republicans always go, well, it's not illegal. You know, it's pretty good.
That's exactly true. The sheer scale, pretty much everything is a crime if you are familiar enough with the law. We have so many federal regulations in particular that there's absolutely every possible way to hit somebody on absolutely anything. On the flip side, of course, if you have good enough lawyers, and they do, they can find ways to take something that is a black and white crime and spin it so that it's absolutely illegal. So is basically the problem. We have two standards.
Yes. Right.
What do you think about Mark Elias? He's a Democrat operative, was with the Perkins Coie law firm. I think now he's involved with Black Lives Matter and is involved in some of the, you can't run for president or any office if you didn't condemn the January 6th people. But I understand that he's talked to the grand jury. How do you think, it sure would be great to sideline him, but it doesn't seem that that's going to happen.
It's quite possible. I think he is going to be next on the hit parade. And taking him out would definitely be a major asset, especially because of his role in various elections in this country. And I think that's really what a lot of the Durham investigation is going to be. It's not really going to take out federal people so much, federal officials. It is going to go after a bunch of the lawyers that they were using to do the dirty work, which, sends a kind of a message, but it's obviously far short of what people want to see.
That's what I wonder, too, if what they're going to do, if you're the FBI and the DOJ and all those people, if you're going to say, oh, my God, those horrible Clinton lawyers lied to us. They tricked us and we had no idea. Is that kind of what you're saying?
I think that's basically a lot of these guys are being paid insane amounts of money to be the fall guys. But also keep in mind, they're going to go through the federal judges, the same federal judges who are Clinton and Obama appointees who have absolutely thrown the book at Republicans in very biased ways. They're going to give them a pass, and that's also the reality.
Yeah.
Well, Sussman's, the claim against Sussman, it seems, he seems like a huge guy for a conspiracy, but a material lie to the FBI, as if the FBI knew he was lying and everyone threw.
Right.
So it's not much of a charge. And Klein Smith, he got probation and then got his bar license back.
Yeah,
it seems like if you're a Democrat, how do we understand ethics here?
Knowingly lying on an affidavit should be like, what? We're talking to Daniel Greenfield here, Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. What about Hillary? Hillary seems to be trying to make a comeback. Do you think, I was kind of wondering if the Biden administration's DOJ is like, okay, you guys can go trash Hillary, just don't go up to Obama and don't go after our FBI. Is she going to maybe be a sacrificial lamb, or how do you see this impacting mine about her future political ambitions?
The
Democrats are in a very strange place because their president and their vice president are both effectively unelectable, yet they obviously are determined to run, which means they really need a heavy hitter if they're going to take them down. But I don't know that anybody in the Democrats really wants Hillary to be that person. But Hillary, of course, wants to be that person. So you've got a circular firing squad. And I imagine there's a whole bunch of Democrats who would not mind if Hillary went down. That said, they're worried about the collateral damage.
Okay. Do you think the other thing that is discouraging to me is just how long this has taken to play? I guess for people like us who followed it from the beginning and have been from the beginning saying some of these things, that we were banned from YouTube from saying, and now all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's actually true. Do you see, is this going to take other years and years and years or?
Yes.
Yeah. But how long and where do you see this sort of going?
If you look at the Mueller investigation as a template, this is how these things work. They go on for years. Often they don't really go anywhere. But there are people making a whole lot of money doing this. And the processes of the legal system itself really just take forever. And that's just an unfortunate reality. If you've ever been around just a court case that drags on and on, that's this in triplicate.
Oh, yeah, where you're like, I was a reporter, TV reporter for years, and not so much criminal cases, but civil cases, you'd be like, oh, whatever happened to that? And then you'd look it up on Pace, and it'd be like, oh, no, there's
it went off the Supreme Court and came back down to the 10th Circuit and related back to the first.
In status. Well, let me, if you don't mind, turn to sort of the topic of the day and what's going on in Ukraine. Any thoughts, your take on that and do you think these sanctions are going to make any difference at all?
Of course, they're not. Even Joe Biden came to the microphone and admitted they're not going to make a difference. Everybody knows they're not going to make a difference. Sanctions are basically what you do. And these are not even the serious sanctions. They're not real sanctions. They're not sanctions on Russia's energy industry. They're not the swift sanctions, which would cut it off from the economy. So So, you know, this is basically like we have to put on a show. And, you know, Biden was pretty clear about this. We're okay with a minor incursion. The Russians are going to go in. We can't really do anything about it. And this is just an extension of that. The basic signal here is that Putin can do whatever he wants. Biden and the United States are not going to do anything. And, you know, the rest is just a show for the reporters.
Yeah, and what's a minor incursion anyway?
I mean, where is this?
You know, okay, it may be, you know, a full scale invasion, but you know, definition of is and the definition of, you know, it's. I think they'll pretty soon want to get it off the front page as the Russians crush the Ukrainians
and they blame Biden
And Biden can say, oh, that gas went up again, huh? That's those Russians who did it.
What do you think? Is this in part a cover for Biden? I mean, already the gas prices, it's like it can't, the invasion in Ukraine, there hasn't been enough time for it to impact the gas prices. Do you think that that's part of it too?
Yeah, he's already blaming the energy companies. And the big thing here, of course, is green energy. They want to aggressively push green energy because so many of the top Democrat donors are invested in green energy. They were with Build Back Better. They were trying to spend tens, hundreds of billions at that industry, because it is all money in the pockets of the people who actually donate and fund the Democrat Party. So this, of course, creates a great excuse because the price of gas goes up and they start pushing, you know, we need more green energy. Never mind the fact that green energy is far more expensive, far less sustainable, and is actually completely unpredictable. But this provides an excuse. So, you know, whatever kind of mess they can make with our domestic economy, with the international energy market. Also look for Iran. They're going to sign off on Iran getting a nuclear weapon. That will throw the energy market in the Middle East into a complete havoc. And again, they're going to respond by pushing more green energy.
Well, did you see that wonderful interview with John Kerry where he said, I just hope Putin doesn't get his eye off the climate change ball, you know, that 66% of Russia is under tundra and that's warming up and infrastructure. And I just hope Putin is sitting there going, oh, okay, Ukraine, that's okay. But well, let's get back to climate change. I mean, talk about investment.
Yeah, his stepson is a big investor in green energy. And John Kerry was heavily lobbying to drop sanctions on Chinese solar panels. Mm-hmm. And Biden went part way, actually doubled the amount of Chinese solar panels coming into the United States. Because, again, all these people are very much invested in this industry, which depends on, first of all, pushing the hoax that there's this crazy weather change that's coming. And secondly, creating conditions that will absolutely wreck actual energy industries.
Right. Well, and the big problem they have is, what are we going to use, right? It's like all of the, you know, the electric vehicles. Number one, we need all those rare minerals that we don't have rights to now, which to me, that's one thing. I'm like, so those aren't renewable either. And, you know, like I said, you know, Europe needs to wean off. And, you know what, Germany closed its nuclear power plants. It's like, wean off to what, right? I mean, our governor in Colorado put out a statement, very progressive Democrat, Jared Polis, saying, we stand with Ukraine. And by the way, we really need to increase green energy. It's like, okay, well, what, right? I mean, that's the biggest thing. They don't seem to be able to tell me at any rate. It's like, okay, so if I turn off my furnace, I mean, what are you going to use? I don't answer that.
Well, that'll allow John Kerry to take another flight.
So
Well, do you think the green energy thing is starting to run its, you know, at a time they had Newt Gingrich sitting on a couch with Nancy Pelosi saying, we've got to work on this green energy thing. I have a feeling that at least the Republicans being total suckers for it, they seem to be somewhat less suckers for it.
Well, it's a bubble, you know, like any other bubble, it can only get so big, but, you know, it's getting pretty big already just because of the sheer amount of regulation investment. They're working to try and basically cripple conventional oil companies and make this the only alternative. And, you know, I'm in California. I can see this on the ground. It's evening and all the lights start flickering because, of course, that's when everybody's plugging in their electric cars. Yet at the same time, there's no sunlight for solar and wind is erratic. So it's a complete disaster. And they're going to respond the way they do here with more and more rationing. So they're never going to admit that their entire setup is corrupt and unworkable, that solar and wind is no substitute for nuclear, for oil, for gas. What they're going to keep saying is that people are using too much. They're going to raise prices. Prices here are already insane. The gas station down the street is charging $6. Mm-hmm. And they're going to keep on doing that. And the response is going to completely wreck the American economy. But they're fine with that as long as they get more money and power.
Their
own personal economics will not be
That's
destroyed.
Right.
It's like COVID. I mean, the richest here in Colorado got much richer. It's just the middle class,
yeah,
and small businesses that were closed down during lockdowns that have now been proven to be totally worthless as far as stopping COVID. So it's a double win for them.
they got
to push everybody around and get rich doing it.
Follow the money.
That's right. There we go. Well, Daniel, let me ask you, like I always like to ask our guests, because you've been great. Where can people find you, read you, follow you, get more information and hear what you have to say?
Well, I have the honor of working for David Horowitz at the Freedom Center, and you can see any of our articles at frontpagemag.com.
All right.
Well, thanks, Daniel. Great to talk to you this Friday.
Have a great weekend.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. You're right. You know, that's interesting. I mean, Judd Dunning must be from California, mm-hmm. too, where he was talking about gas prices being $6. And I don't know about you guys, but again, I told Chuck, we paid our XL bill, and it was like, whoa. I mean, it was almost double what it was this time last year. And we're not doing anything any different.
We're freezing down here.
Yeah, it's cold. Yeah, really in this cold thing. I think one of the interesting things that's going to come out of this, I think Judd was right, the changing of the global order of things, again, that the China and Russia alliance that seems to be forming, and the United States and Europe being weaker and weaker and weaker.
Yeah, well, China is now, you know, before when they were combined back in the 50s and 60s, you know, China was economically weak and Russia was, or at least Soviet Union is a lot stronger than it is today. Now China is the second biggest economy and Russia is much smaller, but combined, they make a huge one and a huge source of, you know, they say, well, you can't raise any money in Belgium. They go, great. Well, I'll just go to Peking.
And there are two leaders who are like, don't really care that they're being blasted on Twitter, right? I mean, their response is close it down. I mean, they're worse than YouTube when it comes to censorship. Hey, and guys, I want to say, apologize. There have been a lot of great comments on the side. We just had with the guests, didn't have time to get to them all. But I love the comments that you guys make here who joined the Zoom meeting. Want to remind everybody that you can always go to our website, Chuck and Julie. And it's got links to everything and the Zoom meeting there as well. On Monday, we're going to be talking about
caucuses. That's not the mountains in Russia, but the political meeting is going to be held all over the state on March 1st.
Yeah, on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
So you can go, and I don't think this is necessary because you can go. I don't know if you guys, you can register for your caucus. I don't really... No,
it helps.
It just kind of checks in and gives them an idea of how many people are going there. But we'll be talking Monday about there's several candidates. So we'll talk a little bit about the candidates that we at least support. And some of them are going on the petition route, but most of the candidates we support are going on the caucus route, right?
The conservatives tend to go by.
And caucus. I think it's important if you can to show up to the caucus because I think the establishment would like to get rid of it.
No, become a PCP, become a district captain, become all the ones, because those are the ones with the SEC. And, you know, maybe we can get somebody with real Republican conservative credentials one of these days on the Republican Party. So it's really key to go to those.
Well, and you can hear the candidates. And I think like we found, you know, because we've been going since you've joined the merry band of the Adams County, you know, freedom fighters, basically. I mean, you become friends with these people. And then also it's like-minded people. So when you've got an issue or a cause that you want to promote or they want to promote, everybody helps. Let me see real quick, a couple of the columns. This is basically back to Dr. Donna, caucus for you. Good, Dr. Donna, thank you for that. And I think that's the perfect route to go. And this just back to the Green Deal. Jordan Peterson said on Joe Rogan that more people are killed installing solar panels than are killed by nuclear power. Well, and why would it's nuclear power, it's nuclear, right? I mean, that's what they've taken over Chernobyl. I'm like, wasn't that? That was a long time ago, right?
I don't think it's doing anything now.
But, you know, and I don't know, and we'll talk more obviously about Ukraine. One of the things I've noticed is it's very hard to read through the various propaganda, right? When trying to figure out what's going on in Ukraine.
Well, you know, the Ukrainians, and to their credit, we're putting up a huge fight.
Oh, good for them, yeah.
Yeah, we're doing huge losses. And you know, really? Maybe. Maybe they are. And the Soviet Union or Russia would say, no, we're
doing it. We're doing
it. The fact that Zelensky said that it's going to be a tough night tonight. Wow, that's
well. And I have all the, like all the Western analysts who say this is much tougher than Putin thought it was going to be. Like, how tough did they?
That, how do they know what Putin?
Why did he put all those troops on the border then? Yet, so anyway, that'll do it for us on this Party Friday. Everyone have a great weekend. Thank you to Judd. Thank you to Daniel. Thank you to TJ for running me for keeping us straight and on the air.
And we'll see you Monday about the caucuses and how you can make a real difference.
All right.